You're listening to the Higher Ideas Podcast, where ideas grow. Connect on higherideas.net. Now here's your host, I.
Hello, fellow human, and welcome back to the Higher Ideas Podcast. I am currently in the woods at the Ayahuasca Center, laying back in a hammock, and thought we'd do an episode. So let's continue today the series on personal power with just a little tidbit here that I want to share. Ego, right? On the quest for personal power, working on ego is important. Not only because as you're growing your power, you want to be responsible with, you know, your increased amount of power out there in the world. And it's always a good idea in that case to keep ego in check as you grow and to even work on ego as part of your growth. Because if you don't, all the power you gain might end up blowing up in your face because you'll use it with ego. And that always has backlash, you know, negative backlash. Ego is a tricky son of a gun. There's a purpose for it. It's not for nothing. It is a survival mechanism, as I've discussed in the past. It has a reason for being there. But especially in our societies today, I feel like ego is promoted in our culture. Be the best, get on top of other people, and make a lot of money, and be successful materially, that kind of thing, right? That's all ego stuff. And in that way, I feel like we grow up with an overgrowth of ego in general in our culture. So all of us need to work on it. It would be healthy for the whole world if everyone took that more seriously. But you also want to, you know, if you want to be powerful, because ego gets in the way of your power. And it'll convince you that it doesn't. It'll convince you that it'll give you power, right? Ego is like a slick little demon that always comes in whispering, you know, hey, listen to me. Oh, we're going to be so strong. We're going to be so powerful. We're going to dominate. We're going to be famous. You know, we're going to get pussy. You know, it has a good sales pitch. It has a tempting offer, but it's a traitor. Because it's a shortcut to power. It's like a false kind of power that it's offering you. And there's a particular aspect, a particular benefit to working on ego that I've never discussed, that I'd like to discuss here today, just to make my sales pitch against ego. So here we go. Let's begin with an example of a behavior that I noticed in myself many, many times. When it comes to music, I work on a lot of music on my own in privacy. I play flute, I play harmonica, I tinker with singing. Some of this is part of my training, spiritually there, but it's also for fun. I love it. I just love to express like that. I'm like a bird, right? I have the spirit of a bird in me. And when I'm playing by myself, I sound great. You know, I've been really working on it. Honestly, I listen to myself very judgmentally when I play. And without ego, I can say that I have some great performances by myself. Beautiful, like double my usual level of talent, right? And I try to capture these moments. Sometimes when I practice, I turn on my recorder. And I've always noticed something interesting happens. Whenever I try to share it, that when I know there's a recorder there, all of a sudden, I'm twice as bad. And I've always been aware what's happening there. What's happening there is that ego is getting in my way because there's a recorder there. And that means people are listening. I know if I capture something good, I'll share it, right? That's the idea of setting the recorder. So I could share these moments that I'm only living by myself, these beautiful musics I get to listen to. I want to share. So I know this is basically someone listening. And when I play with that in place, all of a sudden, I really want to perform well, right? The pressure comes in to perform and, you know, don't screw it up. Don't waste your recording. You know, get this one right. All in one go. No mistakes, right? And what happens? I make a ton of mistakes where when I play by myself, I just get lost in the music, right? I don't care who's listening. I don't care what's going on. And I get these beautiful, perfect, entire performances of a song with, you know, sometimes decorations on it. I never usually do, right? This beautiful blooming happens. without thinking. It's an abandonment of thought. So the interesting thing there, the point of all this, is just to point out, look at how polluting ego is. When the recording is there, I'm worse, because ego gets in the way. Impress people, right? So much pressure, and ego gets all in your way. You get tripped up, and you operate worse.
Sorry to cut in here, fellow humans, but I misspoke this next statement, so I have to re-record it here in editing. I'm about to say what I just described about more ego, worse performance. If you remove, then, ego, the logic should lead that you will see improvement, right? It's the opposite. More ego, worse. Less ego, better. So let's dive back in discussing that.
If you work on ego, on releasing yourself from it, you get better at things. It's the opposite effect. If putting more ego there makes you worse, a worse performer, if it gets in the way, that means less ego means less in the way, better at what you're doing, less encumbered. And the comparison is right there, right? When I play alone and don't have concern about impressing anybody, I'm hitting these beautiful high levels, these magical levels of music that I want to share. But try to share it, ego gets in the way, you can't capture it. It's the exact same kind of effect that I've noticed when trying to perform right in front of someone, you know, in front of a small group of people or anything. It's so difficult to keep ego from getting in your way and tripping you up in those situations. And that's definitely part of the discipline of working with ego, working on ego, is in all these different situations, learning to put it aside and tell it to sit down, you know, get out of my way. I'm trying to work here. You're not needed right now. Sit down. You can't be rid of ego. It'll always be there. But the discipline of working on ego is working on dominating it, telling it to sit down. It's the exact same game with fear. Again, every time I mention fear, I loop it back to ego, because that's what ego's based on. It's fear. But it's not just about music. See, that's the thing. This applies everywhere. Every effort you do in life, that same effect is there. Ego pollution, let's call it. If you put ego into a situation, into anything you're trying to do, it doesn't help. It gets in the way. And it makes you operate worse. And from a less, you know, soulful place, from a less heart-centered place, when you put something in the way of that direct line from heart to action, ego gets between that, right? Puts all these questions and filters there that you modify your action based on. The more you get stuff out of the way of that channel between what your heart is meaning and what you're actually saying and doing and expressing, the more powerful you become, because the heart is super powerful. Someone working from the heart, I think we all have the gut knowledge, will beat someone who doesn't care. Let's climb to the top of that mountain. One person is doing it just because ego or something, right? Hey, I could do it, yeah. But the other guy, you know, it's going to save someone's life that he loves for getting to the top of that mountain. Now, off they go. When the going gets tough up the mountain on the sharp rocks, and as it gets colder and the air gets thinner and it becomes life-threatening to go for the top of this mountain, who's going to give up first? Of course, the one who doesn't really care, who just wanted to do it to prove I'm macho or something. That wears off pretty quick when the going gets rough. But the one who's trying to save a loved one's life by getting to the top of this mountain will go to the top of that mountain until they die, right? The point is, your heart is powerful. Working from the heart is powerful. And when you have ego, it gets in the way of that light coming through in your actions. And it darkens, it dulls the power of that. So is it any surprise then that it would make you worse at performing, right? Worse at reaching your goals? And look, here's another example that comes to mind of this effect, something mainstream, right? American Idol. Now, that has always seemed to me, ever since I started paying attention to ego, that's always seemed to me a beautiful study of ego, especially the audition phase. And there's one particular moment that comes to mind right now of a guy, I don't remember where he's from, somewhere in the U.S. You know what? I'll link this video under the show notes over at higherideas.net for this episode, so you can check it out. Maybe you've seen it, though. There's a black guy from somewhere in the U.S., and he does his audition, and you know, he's got some kind of voice, right? There's something there, right? He does have a good voice. But the problem is, he's coming out so bombastic, is the right word, I think. Just so much force and wanting behind his performance, right? That it twists his performance, it corrupts it, and it comes off grating. Even though you feel definitely a good seed of someone there who's got a voice, a natural voice, and has worked on it, you could tell he's got some technique. But the way he's coming out with it is grating, and it's too much, it's trying too hard. And the judges, after his audition, you know, they tell him, we'll pass, right? And his reaction, just, what? Just the shock. I can't believe you said that. I've been working on this forever, right? I know the notes are good, right? And he's partly right with that reaction because he does have that seed there. But the issue is he doesn't realize that he's been coming at this with too much ego. And it tainted his performance. And it comes off grating. It's coming from his heart. You know, I believe that guy, you know, loves music and wants to be great at it and has worked on it. In a way, it's understandable, the shock, right? But there was a blindness there. Too much ego. He couldn't see the truth. He couldn't really hear himself. The fact that he's coming out forced, overdone, overblowing his instrument in a way. And it doesn't come out in a way that touches the heart, that sings to the ear. It grates on the ego. So he has this whole debate with them, and he won't stop, right? La, 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 la. You know, and they're telling him, stop, stop, that's enough. You know, and he just will not believe that they're throwing him away. But they were right on that call. Now, if I could have spoken to this guy, the advice I would give him is, look, okay, you've done a good amount of work on music. You know, you've got something there. And they were telling him that too. You've got something, but you need more time, they were telling him. What I would tell him is, spend some time working on ego. Trust me, my friends. Forget the singing for a while. Walk away from it. You know, keep it in your life, but don't focus too much on it for now. Leave it aside for a second. And really put that focus that you're putting into improving your singing. Put that kind of focus for a while into cleaning up your ego through all kinds of different methods. I would suggest, of course, mushrooms or psychedelics, right? But just any kind of thinking about ego, observing your own ego at work, learning about ego, trying to work on it in yourself and seeing how it changes, you know, the effect you have on the world. I would suggest that to him. And then get back to your music and you'll see. Suddenly people will react differently to your music. Because you won't be coming at it from this forced place of trying to impress, of needing to do it for ego, instead of more of the love of the music, only for the love of it. And you know, when you think about it, these American Idols that, you know, become finalists, most of them are super humble, aren't they? You know, you got cocky ones, of course, that's part of their sort of stage persona, but at the base of themselves, there's a humbleness that's almost always there, I've noticed, in people that do really excel and really hit, you know, the peak level and really have something special in their voice. They've worked on ego, whether they know it or not. They've got less ego in the way. Their voice is less polluted, and it's more about just the love and just always wanting to improve, not to make other people impressed, but to let the music come out cleaner, right? Working for the music rather than working for ego, for satisfaction on a social level, for proving it to people. There's power to both of these things, but the power of ego is like black magic power. It's a shortcut that has a dead end at the end of it. It's a trick, it's a trap. But when you go the white magic way, right, from the heart with less ego, there's more long-term power there, and there's more magic there. And that's the music that touches. That's the singers that move. Because their music is heartfelt, because their heart is felt in the music. So there in American Idol, you see another example of what I'm talking about here. It really comes down, I guess, in some way, it comes down to who you're serving. When you're undertaking any effort in life out there, if you're doing it for the best implementation of the intent, if you're working for the fruiting of what you're trying to make fruit, the more you work for that, the more powerful it is. That's focused. But when ego gets in there, you're doing it for ego. You're not doing it for the thing itself, the fruit of the effort. You're doing it for ego. And that ends you up at a dead end where you feel like you should have made so much ground, just like that man on American Idol. But somehow it falls short and you can't believe it. You've been betrayed. That's the moment this man had on television, right? So it's very fascinating. I hope you'll look at it. And, you know, watch other American Idol auditions, especially the ones that freak out, this violent kind of reaction to being rejected, when as a casual listener, you can hear why they're getting rejected, right? See the blindness there in those people that ego brings, where they would prefer to believe, yeah, I'm good enough, you know, yeah, oh, I'm great, and not really listening to the truth. Ego blinds you to the truth. Ego tells you a lie. You're better than you think you are. You know, you're amazing when you're maybe mediocre or worse. But buying into ego, that ends you up, you know, in an illusory place that tricks you. It's a traitor. So choose your master wisely in every effort you undertake out there. If you're doing it for ego, you will find yourself betrayed and a lot weaker than it tells you you are. But if you're doing it for the love of the thing, from the heart, if you're doing it to make the thing be done cleanly as possible, as directly as possible, get ego out of the way, and you'll see your power only grows. So there it is. Just a food for thought. Putting ego in an effort will only make you worse and trip you up. And that means the more you could get rid of ego in your daily self, right, in the way that you think and operate in this world, the better you become. So it's the damnedest thing. Sorry for the audio switch there, fellow humans, but I'm now sitting on top of a boulder in a river recording this next part of the episode. But you know, all this talk of music takes my mind to, you know, how many times I've had those peak moments with music that I described earlier, all by myself, really abandoned into the music, and I just become a listener, and I lay back and let the body do the work. And that's those moments where the music is making itself, and it'll only get nicer the more I listen to it, the harder I listen to it, the more I open myself to what do you have to say next, music. I'm a listener. Just reflexes and whatever training, it just goes. And I get to listen to these amazing... Anyway, wow. But the thing I want to discuss about that powerful moment, every time I visited it, there was something else I noticed. And that was that my heart in that moment, physically, is fluttering. There's emotion, there's life, there's something a Twitter in me in that moment. And it's a moment of complete abandon, letting creativity flow through and becoming a spectator. And isn't that a perfect example, when I got to thinking about it, of the ultimate state of surrender from ego, isn't it? Because I'm describing there leaving my body, basically. And when I get my ego that out of the way, things just control themselves, and naturally this amazing thing happens, this beautiful music I get to listen to. But those are the peak moments, like I said, right? And in those moments, physically my heart is all activated, it's all fluttery and alive. Oftentimes it's racing in that moment, a sort of racing, but not like a tired racing, not after you ran or anything. It's like a excitation kind of racing, it's a thrill sort of racing. Yeah, that's what's so invigorating about that moment. I'm analyzing it even now as I speak here, sorry. Ooh. But there again, I see this living example in me, in my own life experience. My own body is telling me, when you get out of ego, you're more alive, you're more free, things flow better, You know, you pick up a flute, this amazing music comes out. Why? Did I make it happen? No. I knew how to touch this thing, right? I've been practicing, getting to know it. So in this moment, I can surrender and let my habits drive. You know where this note is. You go get it, right? To like the spirit of the music or something. And your fingers just drive themselves and then this happens. And in every other way that I've ever been in this state, so this is what got interesting about this for me, because I thought maybe that's just the thrill of music. But there is another time I remembered feeling this very strongly. And it's when I was in Occupy Toronto. Way back in the roots of this podcast was the story about Occupy Toronto, where a lot of this started for me, especially ego work. This was the real time of my life that I was starting to really focus on this idea in myself and in others and see this mechanism at work everywhere, ego. And I went to this camp, Occupy Toronto, and I found myself too shy to do anything. I showed up at the first day of Occupy Toronto. I told that whole story. I'll just nutshell it here. I showed up and I was too rigid with ego, I guess, right, in its own way, in the fearful direction. Too rigid with hesitation and feeling out of place, and I found I couldn't act. I couldn't take part in any group, and I was like wanting to help what's going on over there, or they're making posters, right, blah, blah, blah. But I was just an observer, and I was afraid to jump in. So I went home after that first day thinking, that's not what I wanted today. I didn't want to just walk around this camp. I wanted to get into this effort because I believe in the spirit of this right now, right? And as I analyzed it that night in myself, that's when I started to see, could this be ego, right? And I realized it is ego. It's ego in the sense that there was all these stories in the way of taking part in those activities. And most of the story was, I don't do that. That's not what this character does, right? There was this like script for me. And I found that it was me, my identity, that was limiting me there. My ego clinging to it. And all its limits betraying me when I needed to be bigger than that, right? And I found that I couldn't just let it go. So what could I do? And then I figured it out. Paint my face with a big black maple leaf is what I did. So it covered most of my skin on my face. I was like these eyes and mouth floating in a black leaf, black maple leaf of the Canadian flag, right? And I showed up that day, the second day, like that. And I decided, with this on my face, I am not me. Me is not here. This me with all this past and all this, you know, drama in your life and insecurities. And because this happened to me when I was younger, now I have this insecurity. You know, this whole keeping track of damages and, you know, angsts and things I'm owed for. And, you know, all this stuff, the whole ego map, right, of me. I threw it over there, like, leave it at home. And who I am now in this camp is a person born today. With all the knowledge I have of life, you know, and the world and what's wrong in it. And also with the freshly discovered idea that this shouldn't be about me, and that's a powerful thing, right? Try to be at this camp with the power of not doing it for you. Being here to help this effort and keep it healthy and help it with all my skills, even if it's little things, you know, giving someone directions, they're looking for something and it's over there. That was going to be just do it for them, you know. It was this beautiful, positive energy that I discovered by doing that. And I became really powerful on that camp. Sorry, I'm getting a little too deep into this story, but I guess it must be an interesting recap of some sort, right? I'm even enjoying remembering that time. But that's where I discovered on that camp, as that person that doesn't exist, the power that my other story held over me. And ego was in charge of that. How much my ego had me suppressed, so much that I had to become another person to psychologically trick it, to put myself in a state of mind free from it, of that mess of ego. I became well known on the camp, of course, with the weird maple leaf face makes you visible, but also everyone that interacted with me saw this spirit in me, right? They were like, all of them walked away impressed you know, the leaders of the camp. There weren't supposed to be any, but these like ego little college student want to make myself something in the world, you know, they took over the reins of that place that was full of well-meaning but still weak people that were easily manipulated by ego bags. And to be frank, they were kind of ego bags. They didn't manage that thing well, and they shouldn't have even been managing it. It went against the ideas of that camp. It was to be decentralized. But anyway, I get off on a rant here. Even they had noticed me, and I was part of the high political circle. Without having any particular task except showing up every day and being this amazingly good spirit on the camp, I got into those halls of power, right? I did this by acting from the heart, practicing that whole week or 2 weeks that it went on, every day, exploring it more, waking up more excited, like, Jesus, that was crazy yesterday, thinking of all the powerful moments that happened and the way I'm moving people there, and that was super interesting. What a lesson it was. So of course, it's kind of related to this episode, but I'm trying to get here to a peak moment that happened to me on that camp. And there was this one moment that happened one night when the camp seemed to be starting to go down a bad direction, right? There was a corruption starting to show. Seams were starting to break apart between the communities there. A lot of drama was happening. And I was standing there in a general assembly one day, which was a big gathering you'd have like once a night at least to let everyone speak what happened, what issues we need to focus on as a group, and what is the political plan, all that stuff, right? Everyone got to speak their piece in this circle, and that night it got heated. There was all this drama between all the different groups. You know, there was Native Americans there was the atheists there was like transsexual representatives there was like all sorts of cultures that you would, I guess, call marginalized, right? There were that want more representation. And they were all vying for attention, and they were all the ego. I was watching it take this camp apart. I was also an observer of this entire thing from the inside, watching specifically for ego and how it operated, not only in me through this experiment, but how it worked in everybody else. And I saw that disintegrating effect of a few bad apples sowing poison, and the poison grows in others, and distrust starts to grow everywhere, and people's, you know, true agendas come out, and people can't make room for each other. They don't know how to listen, and it just became this mess. And this night I was watching it happening in the general assembly for the first time. Now it was really in the bones of this thing, right? And so I watched it sort of in horror, thinking, oh man, I guess this thing's gonna fail. I wanted it to do something big, you know? I believed in it. So I stepped up. And I took my turn in the assembly, and they gave me my space on the floor. And I started speaking the truth, right? That I was watching all week. But the most important stuff, and it wasn't in a sort of, you fools, pay attention kind of way. It was, I've been observing you guys. Honor to you for this and that and that. But please understand, this and that is making us have trouble connecting with you. You're isolating yourselves. And you, who say blah, 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 right? I understand, and I would explain the whole why, but there are things you're doing here in this and that dynamic that's causing a bad effect in this and that way, right? So I just sort of laid it all out in this one long, must have been 5 minutes long or something, 2 minutes maybe at the minimum. And when I finished speaking that, people sort of closed around me, behind me, like, they were like, wow, that was amazing. There was all this embrace waiting for me coming back into the group, and I could tell that I had moved people, right? There was this like hush, and it's like everyone finally understood what was wrong, and at the same time everyone saw the community we were there for. So it was this like super wow powerful oration is what I did there, and I don't even remember the words is the thing, because as I was doing it, I got into that place of surrender. And I started realizing I wasn't choosing the words coming out of my mouth. And I was so far away from them that I could barely listen to them myself. I couldn't even follow them. It was just, say this now, don't ask. And in that moment, my heart was aflutter, just like I described with that flute. And not only that, my hands were tingling more and more as I continued to speak. And I started to realize about halfway through, I might faint. That's how strong it was. I wasn't on any drugs. I was just doing that thing in that moment. But there was again, that invigorating, you know, almost, man, what is the word for that? Something that is so awake that it makes you fall asleep, right? Such a weird state to be in, but it started my path on the shamanic road that I'm on right now. That is something shamanic happening there. That is channeling. That's getting out of the way of what? The heart. As I've described in this episode, in moments where you could only get out of the way of your own damn heart, get the ego out of the way, a power comes out that is so it's a power so fat that it moves you out of the way. It can't fit unless you get out of the way. And that's, you know, what you'd call the power of love, I guess, right? Power of acting from the heart. Whew. What a thing to think about. So that effect of the flute making my heart flutter, it's not the effect of playing music. It happened to me speaking in, again, a moment of surrender and letting flow what needs to flow. Suddenly you're all alive. This great power comes through. So alive that you could pass out from it. You're not used to it. And then when you come back to your senses and you look around, everybody's been touched. And no one will forget you. It was like this, boom, something just hit the ground. Oh my God. Miraculous. These are just people affecting each other, but that's big movement of energy from moments of surrendering from ego. And of course, we can't all live in that state all the time. I mean, I don't know how the world would work that way, but getting even a step closer to it, every step you take closer to it makes you stronger, closer to that. And that's the strength. It's some of that power coming out. And as I said, the game is just get out of its way. But how far you get out of its way is how far you release ego and choose to ignore it, you know, to go the other path, not the path it's sending your thoughts or sending your actions, but in a path that would be healthier for you and for everyone, less selfish, less forceful, more trusting and all that stuff. Amazing. And you know, after touching that power, I went back to life and I lost it because I had to fall back into me and I had to, you know, I had lost my stage where I was practicing this power. I saw the pure power that's there. And as I continued to live back in ordinary life, I missed it. And so I kept trying to be more like that person I was on that camp. And every step I got closer to it in my life, in the way I dealt with people, in the conversations I had, in the things that I did, I saw some amount of that still happening. Sometimes, once in a while, there would be a moment of intimate conversation with the friends where I would bring something up and it would turn into a healing moment and I would have that moment of, you know the words, say the words to heal this right now. And I would, and they'd cry, beautiful healing moments. So in those moments, that would be there still, that flutter, that power, but never as strong as it was on that camp, in that moment, making peace between those people. So believe me when I say, fellow humans, there is power, big power, in every step you take away from ego. And you can step away from ego real far before it starts to seem necessary. Of course, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm a dude without ego. I slip up, I fuck up, I have these horrible periods of time, especially under the pressures of Peru here. But I learned it. I learned it in a way I'll never forget. There is a tremendous power that waits for those who walk away from ego. And ego wants it. It wishes it can have it. And it might blow the world up to prove how much power it has. All it'll prove is how foolish, treacherous, what a lie it is. You are not the real power, ego. You are the lesser power, and the greater power lies in the human heart, in love, all that schmaltzy stuff, and in truth. And you'll never be able to have that, ego, because you exist as a separation from it. And you only exist where we allow you to be. So know your place, ego, and be erased where you don't belong. For the good of us all. Sorry for the change in audio, fellow humans. I am now walking along a dusty trail on a mountainside in the sunlight. Whew. So, dovetailing off of that, what I just shared in the river, you know, the flip side of that is also important. Come to think of it, all of the biggest mess-ups I've done in life have been either times where I tried to control things too much, or I got too wrapped up with worries and fears, in other words, ego, right? Or wanting to control it too much by either lying or by, you know, manipulating, making moves to win some kind of game or something, right? Those have been the times where things have blown up in my face the worst in life, right? Or gone the least well for me. So there it is again. There's never been one of those terrible mistakes of my life where it was a moment of love and open-heartedness and express what's in you, and all of those moments have been amazing. I've never gotten slapped in the face for one of those moments, or, you know, reprimanded, only praised and thanked, and Jesus, man, there's something there. So hopefully, rounding the final bend on the episode here, it's pretty clear what this has to do with becoming more powerful, taking on ego as a real serious project. Not only will it keep you from toppling as you grow in power, or being toppled for your own ego, egotistical actions and behaviors and choices, but also for the clarity, right? Both clarity in your action, right, in the mechanism of what you're trying to do and move in the world, getting all the gunk out of those gears of your mechanism, right? It's a kind of slime, it's a gunk, it's counterproductive more than anything, this substance called ego. So in cleaning that out of your system, you automatically become more powerful. And also, as I described here and there in this episode, your actions, your words, the efforts that come out of you come out truer and purer and clearer and resonate better in the worlds around you, the less ego there is there. Ego has this really ugly sort of, you know, sounds, for lack of a better term, ugly sound to it. When you speak with ego, when you act with ego, when you do anything with ego, you know, people, they recognize it. Because we live in these societies of ego, as I described, and we're all so primed to react to ego. Our own egos are, right? We're always jostling against each other, people trying to step over each other and everything. So everyone's ego is ready to snap at the drop of a hat, right? And we recognize it. We recognize when there's ego behind something. And that makes us resist, makes us fight back, makes us wall up. So this is another way that I saw this great benefit in my life when I got back to regular life after that big Occupy Toronto experience, trying to stay connected to that state of being. I went back to a job and I went back to social life and everything like that. taking it all on a different way with this new perspective of try to do it, keeping ego out of it as much as you can. And not only in those big moments of healing I described that would happen here and there, these magical healing moments of, oh my God, look what just happened between me and this person, thanks to being here without ego with them, right? Not only that, but in general, at work, I was respected more. More people wanted to be my friends. Genuine friendships were forming that I hadn't really found in life. You know, just as I opened myself up that way, released myself from ego, things were flowing in better too, not just flowing out of me better. So there's just so many levels I've seen the benefits of working on this. And they're all powerful benefits. So if you're interested in personal power, take it seriously. And in this particular episode, I've been representing this with a lot of focus on the self, because really personal power, it's right in the words, right? Personal power. It's more about you than anyone else, right? It's about working on what's inside of you. Most of the battle is in you, and most of that battle is with ego. But there's this whole other level of the game, which is, of course, interacting with other people. When we get into talking about the external dynamics more, about you versus the external world there, one thing that we will see, if you are not in charge of your ego, if your ego is running wild inside of you and you are bending to its whims left and right, that is something in you that's dominating you. That's something in you that you are surrendering to. That's like a wild beast that isn't tamed. It's your job to tame it, right? And most of us haven't, because we've been raised with this society that promotes it. Yeah, let it grow, let it go wild, it's good, it's a good thing, right? Let this ego get huge. And so most people are in a state of surrender to the whims of their ego. So of course there is that personal power there in inwardly dominating it, right? Inwardly becoming aware of it and not letting it run the show and putting yourself in the position of power over it and getting used to telling it to sit down, as I described earlier. But there's another benefit there that's very important when it comes to this external world of other people and dealing with all these other forces out there. And that is, if you are not in charge of your ego, it is extremely easy for people who know about ego and how it works to manipulate you, to move you, to affect you, to dominate you. By triggering your ego, by playing with the ego. And because you are not in charge of your ego, it's right there inside you. It's like they've got an agent inside of you that's working for them. And of course, I'm talking here about, you know, shady people, people who want to manipulate, people whose power themselves is ego. That's how they get around the world. That's the power they have chosen to study, not in a way of self-discipline, but to figure out how to use it to dominate others and satiate their ego. They're the biggest ego bags of all. They're another kind of ego master who haven't mastered their own ego, but understand how it works and how they can use it in others to get their way, to give themselves what seems to be power. You know, dictators, tyrants, all kinds of asshole-ish humans out there. That's their game. But if you do not dominate your ego, you are just another pawn for them. But if you do get a handle on your ego and you understand it very well and you've gotten used to seeing its trigger mechanisms and resisting its pull when it says, hey, let's do this, hey, let's feel this way, hey, let's react this way, hey, this is a threat, hey, you know, fear this, hate this. When you become good at standing above that, they can't move you. And that's powerful. That scares those people. When they come and they try to push on someone using ego the way they're used to the vast majority of humans being pushed around, when they come along and try to do it to somebody who has done this work, they find an immovable mountain. This person full of ego who's used to using people with ego, feeling so powerful. Yes, this is how you dominate the world. They come along and push on a person like that, a person who's worked on it and is immune. And then they find, what is this? I can't move this. This is unmovable. This is impossible. That's where these big reactions come out of these ego bags. They get real scared. You end up being immune to these people. And you end up standing alone, tall on a mountain. It's a very powerful state of being. So if nothing else in this episode got your attention, let this be the final point. Work on ego within yourself, and one of the definite ways you'll become more powerful is to be less pushed around by those who push others around using ego. You become immune, and you see that you end up stronger, more immovable. So there it is, fellow human. Whole bunch of interesting reasons to work on ego. Now, before I sign off, on the first episode of this series, Personal Power 1, at the very end of the episode, I sort of gave you a little spiritual tool. I asked the listener to find an object, be it a bracelet, a ring, a necklace, something wearable, some accessory, but I suggested to pick this thing very carefully, with the intention that this will represent this entire path of personal power I'm trying to set people on here. And to wear it as a reminder daily, every time you look at it, every time you put it on, every time you realize, oh yeah, I'm wearing this thing, right? Let it stand as a physical reminder, a visual reminder of all of these principles. Now, this is a spiritual psychological technique that's very important that'll really ground a lot of this stuff. So I hope some of you guys have done it. Now, here's what I want you to do with that object. If you're wearing it right now, maybe that would be pretty cool, huh? If not, you know, next time you put your hands on it, next time you have it, even psychologically right now, without having it near you, this is what I want you to do. I want you to put all of the points that have stuck out to you through this episode, all the concepts that are useful, I want you to put it into that object psychologically. So that when you look at it and remember, I'm on the path of personal power, I'm working on personal power, you will specifically also remember this point. And we'll be doing that with every single episode of this series. And as this knowledge grows and as you add more into this object psychologically, it will become a powerful spiritual object for you. So I hope you'll do this. It really helps to keep these concepts alive in your minds, gives them a place to live, right? And as you look on your object, as you meditate on your object here and there, you know, it's helpful to remember, sort of repeat again, all of the points that are in there. It'll really psychologically help you stick to these things as they physically stick to you in the form of this object, right? And since I'm speaking about this here, let me make another suggestion. No matter what the object is, even if it's a ring, even if it's a keychain, right? I don't know what someone may pick out there. But no matter what object it is, try to imagine it as a necklace too. Something like a rosary, right? Something with beads on it. And make this episode, these points of this episode, make them one bead. Give it a color if you need to, right? Go as detailed as you like. Maybe there's a drawing on it or a symbol, right? Put that on the thread of this object. Even if it's a ring, like I said, even if it's not shaped like a necklace, in your mind, spiritually, make it a necklace with beads. And be out there trying to add beads to it. And remember each of those beads. And it will grow. And as it grows, it'll become more important, right? And it'll become this invaluable resource you can meditate on anytime. Refer back to, especially if you're repeating all these things to yourself. If you're sort of checking on it mentally once in a while, how many beads are on this thing? Oh yeah, there's one, there's two, there's that. Oh yeah, and there's this point too, and there's this advice, right? It'll become this rosary eventually that you could pray over that way. Now, I know this might turn people off, might sound too religious, but it's really sort of riding the line between psychological tool and spiritual tool. And I invite anybody out there to try attacking it this way. It really seems to be something to it. So, there's your upgrade for today. One more pearl of wisdom to add to your string of personal power. Use it well, fellow humans. Study it well. Pay attention to ego in every moment of life. You'll see how it works. You'll learn how yours works, how yours tugs at you. Observing is the first step of anything. Healing an illness, working on a weakness. First you observe how it works, and then you implement change. And that does it for today, fellow human. As always, you could find this podcast over at higherideas.net. Along with every other episode, I will post related links below this episode. You'll also find at the top of that site, in the very top bar, a little orange link to my Patreon account, which goes to support this content and support my life over here in Peru. Of course, thank you to the Patreon patrons, as always, many, many thank yous, especially to the most generous of them all, Mr. X. Thank you for always sticking around, you insanely generous man. And until next time, fellow human, keep thinking.